A badge of honor. Police officers and first responders wear badges to let their communities know they are here to protect and serve. But that's not how it feels today. And the stress of the job is taking its toll, taking lives through suicide and post-traumatic stress injury. A Badge of Honor podcast features the cast of the same name, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno. Sam, John, and the team offer the first responders workshops through their critical incident stress management teams and mental health liaisons to offer state-certified TCOL credit programs that save lives. It's time to smash through the stigma. It's time to heal from your injury, and it's time to back our blue. Welcome to A Badge of Honor podcast. Here are your hosts, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno.
Hey, welcome to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam, powered by the OBBM Network. Man, it's been a crazy week, Sam. We are wrapping up Mental Health Awareness Month, you know, and we got the big gala at the end of the month with Carry the Load coming up on the 29th and 30th at Rivershawn Park. So I am so looking forward to that. But just an update on this week, I want to give a big shout out to everybody who came out and walked the bridge with us globally. Each bridge walk that went on this week really had a huge turnout of you know, people who want to support breaking the stigma in the mental health world of our veterans and our first responders. I know in Rockwall, you had probably close to 100, 110 people walking that bridge. Lots of new faces. And then we had over in Fort Worth, we had probably about 40, 45. And Manchester, England, who just started this month, God bless you guys. You had a beautiful turnout with many of different groups in your area, London, England. And there's going to be another UK walk starting just outside of Stevenage very soon with the Masons group. A lot of Masons are going to get involved, and they're going to help walk the bridge over. So we'll have three in England. Now we have three here in Texas. We have the Fort Worth, Rockwall, and Waco. Waco walked the bridge as well. So God bless all you guys. Tonight, Montana is walking the bridge. So go to walkthebridge.org and really try to be a part of this. It's an uplifting, get off the couch type of thing once a month. So God bless.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal to just see everybody out there. And being that it's Mental Health Awareness Month, leading right into Carry the Load over Memorial Day weekend, you know, it really is about bringing back the true meaning of Memorial Day, remembering those that aren't with us anymore. And then for our specific initiative and how we're remembering those that we've lost to suicide due to the post-traumatic stress that was really left to get out of control because of the stigma. People didn't want to come forward. And so Walk the Bridge gives family members and friends of those that we've lost the ability to come out and remember their loved one the way that they lived, not how they died. And so go to walkthebridge.org for more. And you know what else I wanted to say, and it's kind of the perfect segue to bring in our guest, is that when we're there and we're thinking about the activity of walking, like we're taking steps forward, we're moving while we're remembering, we're moving towards healing. While we may be experiencing something trauma related, we're moving forward towards healing, and we're not doing it by ourselves. So we're able to use Walk the Bridge to grow from it. And the term people may have heard, post-traumatic growth. And that is what tonight's podcast is all about. We have got the amazing Stephen Brush. He is the director of the Warrior Path program that is out at Eagle Oak Retreat in Italy, Texas. We are all nonprofit partners in Carry the Load, all working in the same space to help and heal our warriors, our veterans, and our first responders. Stephen, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome. Yes, welcome.
Hey, thank you both. An honor to be on here. The guests that you've had on here have been amazing as I've went back through your all's podcast. So to sit in the seat, represent not only Eagle Oak Retreat, but be a representative of the Warrior Path team, which is across the nation at this point. We're the 10th location. It truly is an honor to be able to sit here and talk about this program with you guys. So I look forward to this conversation.
Well, that's fantastic. Please tell everybody watching and listening about your incredible background.
Well, I appreciate that. And for those listening, I'm going to go into more of an extended introduction because I think it really lays the foundation of what this program is. This program is a peer-to-peer based training program. And I really want to make my ties back to, although I come from a military background and a contracting background, I think there's a lot of similarities. I know there's a lot of similarities in our trauma from law enforcement, firefighters, first responders, nurses. We all struggle in very similar ways, and the path up and out of that to a state of thriving is all kind of the same. So thank you for the opportunity to sit with you all. So my name is Stephen Brush. I'm 31 years old. I've been married for about 12 years, been with my wife for 15, we met in high school. We got two amazing kids, Kaylee, she's almost 12, my son Grant, 10 years old. And we live out near San Antonio, in New Braunfels, just outside San Antonio, about 3 hours away. And Sam, I'll say the locals here in Italy will be proud because you said it right. It's not Italy, it's Italy. They'll make sure to remind you. We're
it's here Italy. In Texas. It's Italy.
Yeah, right. That's the New York in him, you know, little know. Italy. No, it's Italy. I was corrected the first time too.
Absolutely. Important to note, it's only about 45 minutes south of Dallas. I mean, I've driven from the Dallas police headquarters back down here. I think it took me about 50 minutes. So really just in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex's backyard. But as this program moves forward, I know it's going to service the entire state of Texas. So it's super amazing location. But so my story, I'll start back briefly to childhood because that's where most of ours do start, as we find through this research. And I would say the most importantly, I come from a family of service. My grandfather served as a police officer and a detective for 35 years out of Columbus, Ohio. My father served as a Marine. He retired as a colonel, 26 years in the Marine Corps. And so I grew up as a military brat with your traditional moving every couple years. And the strain on the family. I remember being in fifth grade, walking into class and watching 9/11 happen. And I know Sam's connection and y'all's connection to that. So that was a huge impact on my life. My dad was already out in Africa doing some training for about 6 months and was immediately taken over to Kuwait, worked with some very amazing generals and was instrumental in the invasion of Iraq. But what that did to me as a child is I grew up as the middle child, an older sister, younger brother. Really had to put on that rucksack and start carrying pieces of my family while my father was deployed. And I think that played a huge part in my story. So if you fast forward, as I worked through that, by the time I was finishing high school, I knew I wanted to serve in the Marine Corps. I didn't know what capacity, but growing up in a military family, in the Marine Corps family specifically, I kind of necked that down to wanting to be a recon Marine. So I joined the Marine Corps. All right, let me back up. I was living in California at the time. My father retired in my junior year of high school, and I moved out here for my senior year of high school. Went to Fossil Ridge High School in Keller, Texas, where I graduated in 2009 and met my wife. So I went to the Marine Corps in 2009 with the goal of becoming a reconnaissance Marine, and made it through the entire pipeline. Went to boot camp, infantry training, pre-recon training, went to recon training, and then was sent out to 3rd Recon Battalion in Okinawa, Japan. Yeah, which I had the fortune to join Force Recon Company 3MF at the age of 19. I didn't know what my future really held at that point. I was definitely one of, if not the youngest man out there on a very small unit. Started my school pipeline, went to Army Airborne, Military Freefall, and on my return, 3rd Recon was selected to go to Sangin, Upper Sangin Valley in Helmand Province, Afghanistan. And one of the platoons needed a point man. And I was selected to go with a Force Recon team as a point man and deployed to Sangin in 2010, 2011. And just prior to that deployment, I was married to my wife, Michelle, and she became pregnant with my daughter, McKaylee. So I deployed to Sangin in 2011 at 19. I turned 20 on that deployment. My daughter was born while I was on that deployment. And to say that's where my trauma started, I think, you know, I know it started earlier than that, but that's really where I started throwing some large weights in that rucksack that we carry. For the first 4 months of that deployment, our small battalion was in two firefights a day, every day for about 4 months straight. I don't like to be the guy to call the number of firefights it was in. I'll just say it was a lot. And the situation, to paint a little bit of a picture, in Sangin was very old country, still mud compounds and buildings. Everything we did was on foot. And so we found ourselves very commonly stuck in compounds for 6 to 8 days, being ambushed morning and night for months on end. And the biggest threat there too were pressure plate IEDs, foot mounted IEDs, in which, you know, 3.5 Dark Horse, which has a great history in Sangin, who lost I wish I knew the number, but it's high, double digits. We're there before us. So to say that I started accumulating that trauma was very evident as I started wrapping up that deployment about 7 months in. I remember calling my father, crying, trying to figure out how I was going to come home. I just knew that I was changed, a changed human being from that experience. And so I came back from that on what we call it Advon leave, 2 weeks early because my daughter was born. So my team tried to get me out as early as I could. On that deployment, we lost one of our teammates, Daniel David Gurr. And right as I was leaving, we lost another one of our, another guy from our platoon and that I wasn't there for, which really made an impact on me through everything we had been through. But I say that all to say I came home to a brand new wife, a newborn baby, and about a week removed from that experience in Sangin. And to say that I did not know how to cope and be the husband and father really doesn't do it any justice at all. I was angry, upset, and really felt like I was living in an alternate reality. I couldn't really comprehend what it was that I had just experienced. And everybody that came back with me felt that same way. So I went back to Okinawa, spent some more time out there, ended up going and getting transferred to First Force Recon, where I picked up the rank of sergeant. And that would put me in about 2012, where my son was born. And I was coming up on my reenlistment terms, and twofold, I just felt like I wasn't getting the help I needed. And in that first week that I returned, went to First Force, I had a very close friend of mine that I had been through the pipeline with take his own life. Shortly after going and seeing a doctor and being prescribed medication. And I say that to say I'm not some anti-medication guy. Just in my story at that age and where I was at, it really scared me because I knew who he was up until that point. And unfortunately, we hear these stories too many times. So immediately in my story, I checked that box and said, I will not do that because that scared me. And at that same time, I was reaching out to mental health professionals for counseling within the bases and off bases to truly try to flesh out what happened to me. And the negative experience started taking place. One of the first times that really stands out to me was I was sitting across from a counselor who started crying, listening to my story. And I felt like I was burdening them with my trauma. And so it really pushed me away from that, which started my journey out of the Marine Corps at the age of 21 with a small family, really feeling like I had nowhere to turn and that I didn't have answers and that I was kind of stuck living as a diminished version of myself because of what I had just experienced and been through, which was very troubling to me. And in that process, losing a couple more guys in our community to suicide. So knowing that I had to kind of just forge forward, I got out of the Marine Corps in 2013 and started my journey on the life outside. And I went straight into the oil field for about 2 years. And I was just running from my trauma. I used my coping mechanism was work. I worked about 90 hours a week, as much work as I could put in front of myself, knowing that I had success with the foundation and the blueprint that made me a force reconnaissance Marine. I had success in the oil field. But I couldn't have success in my home when I walked in the door. I could do everything outside.
Guys, to interrupt Stephen, but we are listening to an incredibly powerful story all about Stephen Brush. He's a director of the Warrior Path program out at Eagle Oak Retreat. We will be right back after this first week. Stay tuned, everybody. We got a lot more to come.
Move freely, America, without medical restrictions or penalty. Without medical freedom legislation in place, our rights and freedoms are one vote away from being dissolved. Move freely, America, with one voice, without fear of retribution, achieving a common goal, medical freedom. We the people make our voices heard by connecting with state legislators and engaging a constitutionally compliant medical bill of rights for all citizens. Individually, change is improbable, but as an aggregate, attainable. It's time to act with one voice. My voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
To protect our freedom, creating one voice that cannot be ignored. This requires your voice, too. Move Freely America. Go to movefreelyamerica.org to find a chapter near you. Plug in, donate, and help our legislators defend our God-given rights under the Constitution. Move Freely America. My voice.
And my voice.
And together with your voice, we're one voice that cannot be ignored. Donate today. Movefreelyamerica.org.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Stan. We are listening to an amazing story with Stephen Brush of Warrior Path. Stephen, your story almost reads like an action movie. You know, the way you the things that you've gone through. But I do want to touch on one thing. So now we're at 2013, right? You are you're just about 24 years old now. 23, 24 at that age?
At that point, I was 21, 22, yeah.
21, 22. Now, you know, we all know that are in a medical, in a mental health field, you know, the brain doesn't fully develop until you are about 25, 26 years old. And we see this more and more with young police officers, firefighters, paramedics, and military personnel. They are thrown into these trauma situations. Even if you are not in a combat fight, a simple deployment away from home, okay, not knowing what the next second of the day is going to bring, causes huge, huge trauma within the body. So at that age, man, it, you know, when you talk about coping mechanisms being a little skewed, man, your coping mechanisms weren't even developed yet. So now things start to become the norm. And this is what I want to tell everybody that's out there that's listening, is that, you know, the trauma becomes a normal way of life. And we don't know anything more than that trauma because our brains are fixated on it. I get with the working in the oil field, the 90 hours, it's available, the money's there. You just overwork yourself because that's all you know. And I don't see a solution to this. I don't see, except if we break the stigma, get the mental health treatment for our military personnel at that young age, you know, and educate them on what they are going to experience instead of somebody like you getting thrown into the reconnaissance, then pulled out. You got a young family. You're worrying about your wife. You're worrying about your kids. Man, my heart goes out to you, brother. But, you know, you're not alone. You're not alone. And this is why we do what we do.
And have culturally competent individuals who don't show their emotion. They're supposed to be there listening and offering solutions. And, you know, John, we've talked to plenty of that have experienced that as well. So, Stephen, you know, please continue. So you're with your family and not, and trying to balance and, you know, kind of feeling if is upside down or sideways a good way of explaining it?
Inside out?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, inside out. Inside out. All the above.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the important thing to feel, and I say all this because I know there may be somebody listening that hears these connections as I go through this story, but all the above. And it was mainly when I would walk back in my house that I felt like a failure to my wife and to my kids, that I couldn't be present with them mentally, physically, emotionally. I felt like I was always kind of stuck in my past and those thoughts ruminating from that deployment. And you're right, you aren't developed, and it still blows my mind, the lack of training. I mean, when I say there, the transition back from that deployment was about 2 days worth of PowerPoint slides of different people with different phone numbers on these slides saying, if you feel like you need to kill yourself, call this number. And then you're kicked off to the winds. And then even in leaving the Marine Corps, I think I got a week on how to write a resume. And you're back on the street. So
let me ask them that phone number, which says if you think you're going to kill yourself, and I know you're kind of powerful, but I could see the military turn around. Well, if you think you're going to kill yourself, being that blunt, were they that blunt, or do they be like, well, if you're feeling emotional and you feel like you want to hurt yourself, I mean, but they were like, if you feel like you're
going to, they have these, all these suicide awareness classes, and maybe I'm being too blunt about it, but that's how it was received and received by everybody that came back from that, because I can read between the lines. I'm not an idiot, nor is any one of us in this warrior community. And I think in the military, especially, sometimes the professionals just see these grunt and these knuckle dragging ground pounders that don't have any brains about them. And it's frustrating to see, because there's some of the most intelligent guys I've ever worked with are in these communities, as you guys know very well. That put me in about 2015. Is that the point where I was kind of at wit's end? We had moved from California up to Ohio. I worked out of Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and I moved down to Arkansas. Then it took me up to Colorado, dragging my family around with me, really running from my trauma. And I always say running from the train and putting more train cars on it is the analogy. So at that point, one of my team members called me that he started contracting back in Afghanistan for one of our government agencies. And in that time, all I wanted to do was be back in what I was good at and back around the guys I had experienced my trauma with. And at that time, definitely thought that was the best choice. So I went through the selection process with this agency, and I found myself in 2015 back over in Afghanistan. And so I spent between 2015 and 2018, five more deployments to Afghanistan. And that left me about 25 with six deployments and still no answers. Every time I came home, my home situation got worse. You know, I didn't drink at all when I was overseas, but I'd find myself at the tail end of those trips, 3 weeks straight on a bottle, trying to suppress whatever emotions that I had just to wait to get back to my team, taking that mental vacation that the family wouldn't come with. You know, it doesn't come with you on those vacations because the problem wasn't truly addressed. And any time that I would try to reach out, you know, the VA system speaks for itself. I know there's great people within the VA, and so I'm not here to trash the VA, but in the couple experiences I had, when you're struggling that deeply, and I say struggling, I say skull dragging rock bottom, which is a sniper term, just dragging your face across the dirt. Anytime there's just even one thing wrong with what you're trying to do to go get help, it turns you away from help. And I think we see that all the time in our communities too. So through these trips, I would try to connect with counselors, try to go to the VA, and I was just turned off by everything that I encountered. I just never felt like there was a place to truly set my ruck down without either giving my trauma to somebody else, or more importantly, that my trauma was actually even understood from the person that was sitting across the chair from me. Well, this got to the point where I was running, I would say at that point, for at least 6 years with this feeling, just overwhelming depression. And I will speak to this, you know, depression that I would not wish on my worst enemy. And I mean that when I say it, and that's what we hear from a lot of people that come through this program. So you're not alone. And for those out there listening, you're not alone. You're not crazy. There's nothing wrong with you. You're stuck in symptoms, and it's about training. And that's what this training program's here for. So, but I got to the point where I was ready to take my own life. I saw my buddies do it, and I got to the point where it just made sense. I could not imagine living another 50 years in that mind and body that I was living in. And so I did what most of us do, and I started pushing the people the closest away from me. So we had moved out. I finished my contract overseas. I took a job up in Oregon. At the time, I was working at a tactical training facility that uses, you know, the simulators. You've worked through situations, and I worked with some with the Portland Police Department. Had a staff of all military and first responders, so I thought that was the answer. I was always seeking these outside answers to fix the internal problems. And as we know, you know, material solutions don't fix the internal issues. So I was working there, and I started pushing everybody away. Stopped talking to my parents for a couple of years, all my close friends. I just stopped answering texts. I didn't have any family there or friends really, except for the people that I worked with, but I never shared my trauma with them. They didn't know. I showed up to work. I was the Force Recon Marine that was there to lead everybody and stand with my shoulders back and tall and strong. But inside I was dying. And it got to the point where my anger in my house that came out as anger, came out as rage in moments. And I'll just speak to that. I mean, what did that look like? Well, I would come home from a day's work carrying this weight, carrying this full rucksack that I've never been able to set down. And it would come out as anger with my wife, anger with my kids, and then frustrated judging myself for the anger that I had at them when they're only there to support me, and which would result in some self-medication. Oh man, what am I doing? I'll go isolate, throw back a bunch of beer, and numb myself until I got to wake up in the morning and do it all over again. And I just hated living in that body. I hated doing that to my family. So I ended up buying my wife and kids plane tickets, sent them out of the house the next day to put myself in a position to take my own life. And I went through with this process. I went to work one day, had it planned out. I just got this new pistol, and some of the instructors that were working for me were allowed to go show it to customers. So right before I left, I went and used the restroom, came back, grabbed my pistol on my desk, went in my car, went to the YMCA parking lot, put it in my head and pulled the trigger, and it didn't go off. And I come to find out in that short time that I was using the restroom, one of my instructors came, grabbed it and cleared it out and showed it to one of the customers. But I was remember sitting there in my car and really just angry, just, you know, obviously a whole lot of emotion sitting there and just thinking about all the lives of my brothers that took their own life and that I had a second chance, but I just didn't know where to turn. And so somebody that worked with actually Mission 22 based out of Oregon was one of my one of the students that I was teaching, privately instructing and shooting, and you know, and saw the hurt in me and looked me in the eye one day and said, "Hey, have you ever heard of Warrior Path?" And again, this is in 2018, so almost 5 years ago. It was when about a year after they opened their second location in Arizona. And I hadn't heard about it. I was definitely hesitant, but I kind of made an oath to myself, the wrong oath, but I'll give something one shot. I have enough energy in me, enough fight in me to give something one more shot. And it was Warrior Path. So I went to Warrior Path October 2018. And in about 3 days, I found damn near every answer that I'd been looking for. And I summed that whole experience up, which we'll dive more into Warrior Path. I summed that whole experience up to say, when my wife saw a photo from me there, I think I was about 4 days into the program. She said she broke down and said that's the first time she'd seen me smile like that since high school. And wow. I think that speaks volumes. And I see it here. And, I'm sitting here and we're in the middle of our third program. And to say this stuff works, I get to see the smile on these people's faces. This program really does work.
That is totally amazing. And it is, I mean, the emotional, the ability to let, you know, take that rucksack off and release that weight. It showed in your face and translated to your family through a picture. Phenomenal. We've got to take our next quick break. We will be right back with Stephen Brush, director of the Warrior Path program out at Eagle Oak Retreat in Italy, Texas. Italy.
Bring the cannolis.
We'll be right back, everybody.
Interested in starting a podcast or TV show? Worried about what you'll say and how to keep it engaging? Think you'd like to be a guest on podcast, radio, or TV shows? Hi, I'm Susan Hamilton, owner and founder of OBBM Network, and I would like to invite you to an OBBM media training to get the tools you need for a relaxed and polished performance you'll be proud to share. Our specialized training techniques include role play, voice training, and everything you need to deliver a confident, clear, and engaging interaction. Go to offbeatbusiness.com. Go to the calendar and register for a training that's convenient for you. Dates available now, 214-714-0495.
Hey, welcome back to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. With Stephen Brush of Warrior Path, he's telling us this amazing journey, his story, his road to healing is something that everybody, if you missed the first half of the show, you're going to have to rewind and listen to the whole thing, because it's a journey that most of us do travel, and we have to know that we're not alone. Stephen, you brought up a couple of things that I just want to touch on. When you talked about the VA, and here I am definitely not going to bash any therapist or any mental health counselor out there, but you brought up a good point. The VA, when you go to a counselor, are they civilian or are they civilian counselors or are they military counselors?
I don't know. It could be both. It could be both. You may happen to have one that had military background, and a lot of times that is the case, who's experienced trauma themselves and really want to come back and serve their community. And I'm with you. It is not the counselor. Every one of those people are there with the right heart and right mission. And I think with a lot of times with our agencies in general, You know, the bureaucratic BS gets in the way. Something can be enacted in 24 hours. It takes 10 years to remove that really boxes them in from doing their job. So I'm with you. It's not, I'm not here and I don't want to, because there's a lot of people.
No. What I'm saying is, you know, sometimes if you go to a civilian counselor, somebody who's doing marriage counseling, you know, the first hour, you know, a different counseling the next, then has to see you. They don't know the difference. They're giving you their cookie cutter version of their therapy. You know, that's why it's so important to seek a counselor who has not so much lived it, but been there and knows it and knows what you're feeling, because the therapy is a lot different when you hear from you, like Stephen, when you bring this up to somebody who's struggling, they feel it. They know. They're like, you've been there, bro. I could stop taking this rucksack off because now I'm in my comfort zone. You know, I'm not being in this cookie cutter thing. And that's what I think Warrior Path brings to and that's the success of Warrior Path, is that you have individuals there that feel from the heart. It's not cookie cutter, you know?
Treat
each individual the way they should be treated.
Absolutely. And that's why I spend the time telling this story, and I will jump quickly. I'll wrap that story up in about 2 minutes and saying I left that program and put these practices into place. I went back to the agency that I was working for. I completed 7 more deployments with them to Afghanistan. I finished my time as a regional manager for site security, managing multiple sites across that country, and had to witness the fall of Afghanistan in first person view from start to almost finish. I left 2 weeks. I was at the airport. I'll just put it that way, and had to witness all that. So I will say this program, not only does it work for those that are still actively serving, that want to continue their service, you can do this and still do the work that you want to do and serve in the capacity that you want to. This program gives you that capacity. I'll wrap it at that. I came to be the program director. I was offered a job as a path guide in Arizona after I went through the program in 2018, but it was just not the right time. I had a lot of healing to do myself. And so when Afghanistan ended, I reached back out to the path guide, who's now the director of the Boulder Crest Institute, Greg Morin, who has an amazing leadership story, was a pit crew coach for Jimmy Johnson's pit crew team for all his winning years, just an amazing human being. And they told me, hey, we're actually opening up our first location in the state of Texas. And now I'm sitting in front of you all. But I do want to hit that point that you brought up. And listen, when people are struggling, all they're looking for is tools. And that's a word I hear thrown around all the time. And that's the vocabulary that we immediately remove from people when they show up here is, listen, where do you keep tools? In your toolbox. Where's your toolbox? Probably in your garage. And when do you go grab a tool? When something's broken. And at that point, it's too late. Warrior Path teaches you practices, daily practices, to implement into your life, to give yourself yourself the ability to regulate that nervous system that's dysfunctional, dysregulated, so you have the chance to respond to life and not react to it. And if you summed up Warrior Path in one sentence, that's what it is. That's the difference, is everybody wants that quick fix, and it just doesn't exist. Life is not hard, but it is hard work. And when we say hard work, it's the discipline to wake up and put this routine in place. And that's what Warrior Path's focused on, is creating an environment, setting the container, built on trusted connection. Every path guide has been through this program, has sat in the seat as a student, and not with the intent to come and be an instructor. They went through this program and later down their path came back to be a path guide. So it hits that last point you were saying, John, which that's exactly it. We set this container on a beautiful property here at Eagle Oak Retreat. These students come in and they immediately feel it. Everybody here is one of me, and we don't teach them. We ask them questions, but as path guides, our job is just walk beside these guys and gals and let them experience what we experience, hand them this gift, the Warrior Path that was given to us, and give them the ear, more importantly, to share to somebody that does understand it. And it does come through immediately when somebody talks about depression, when they're on the couch for 3 days straight. And literally, you know, I had a student say, somebody could have handed me a winning lottery ticket and I wouldn't have gone out and cashed it. Yeah, brother. I know what that feels like. And they know what it feels like because the passion that you carry through with that. And they don't feel like they're handing it to you and you're putting it in your rucksack. They're handing it to you to evaluate, to see, is this thing something that's still valued to me? Is this thing still serving me? Or am I ready to let the weight of this go so I can live in the present and start planning for a future that I used to be afraid of.
That is phenomenal. You know, we're going to dive in to the Warrior Path program because we've got this, and a lot of people have heard of the term post-traumatic growth, but a lot of people really don't understand what it truly means. We're going to talk about that and a lot more when we come back right after this next break.
Hi, welcome to Heroes in Action. I'm Ray Amanat, founder and creator of this training system. I originally made it so that everyone can train for free. We have programs for kids, for women, families, and businesses. I'm an author, speaker, and educator on everything that has to do with violence and bullying prevention education. If you'd like more information about who we are and what our programs are, please go to our website at heroesinaction.us or give me a call if you have any questions at 727-314-2534. We hope to see you here to train.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We are talking to Stephen Brush of Warrior Path. Stephen, an amazing story. Sam, you brought up post-traumatic growth just before we broke for commercial. And Stephen, you're going to lead us into that on, you know, that frustration factor that a lot of people in a hypervigilant or a hyperarousal state, you know, Sam, you always say to me, you know, hey, did you read that book? And it's like, I get past the first three pages. And if it doesn't come to a climax, I'm done, man. I'm out of there because I get ADD and I'm just all over the place.
But it doesn't have pictures. We're in adult books now, John.
See, only you can say that, Sam.
That's part of the hypervigilance inside of each and every one of us is that we do not learn how to be patient because we want a quick fix to a bad situation. In the military, we do that all the time. You know what? We see a threat. We want to eliminate it. We're done. Let's move on to the next threat. When we go through our healing process, we have to be able to stop, breathe, and take our time and walk the journey slowly because that's the only way we're going to heal our wounds correctly so they don't return.
Yeah, absolutely. You got the on-off switch. And unfortunately, we take that on-off switch home with us. And we're either amped or we're numb. And we take that thing that works well for us at work and it doesn't work so well for us when we walk back into our homes at the end of the day or off these deployments or coming back from the hospital, and whatever your job may be as a frontline worker. So post-traumatic growth, the history of it, I'll make it nice and brief and pithy, as old Eric Fowler, Director of Programs for Warrior Path, likes to say. So Dr. Rich Tedeschi and Lawrence Calhoun, they were both university psychology professors at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. And before they reached tenure, they didn't really want to get locked into the subject. They were specifically learning and studying. They wanted to study where wisdom came from. And so they started sitting down with groups of bereaved parents that lost their children, and groups of adults that were physically disabled in adulthood. So in this process, they started hearing these themes. And when they went in, they thought they were going to hear all these stories about how horrible their life was and how they're dealing with, you know, depression and anxiety and all these symptoms that we relate to PTSD. And what they found was, no, these people are thriving. And they go, okay, well, how are they thriving in the aftermath of all this trauma? So they first coined this term PTG in 1995, and when they wrote their first book, Post-Traumatic Growth. And this is why it kills me that nobody's heard of it. When you ask people, hey, who's heard of PTSD? Everybody raises their hand. And then you ask who's heard of PTG? Nobody raises their hand. And I think that's a problem within our communities from not spreading that word. The PTGI inventory, so Post-Traumatic Growth Inventory, was first published in the Journal of Traumatic Stress in 1996. So it's almost two decades or more, actually, right, of science behind post-traumatic growth, which essentially they took, reverse engineered what it was that made people be able to thrive in the aftermath of trauma to create this program. But going back to where I started, so they were like, oh, well, how does this relate to military, which military first responder, let's use hand in hand here because trauma is trauma. We don't compare traumas. The effects of trauma on our bodies are all the same. So they started looking at the survivors of the Hanoi Hilton. That's where Senator McCain was locked up, a prison camp in North Vietnam. And I want to get the numbers right. I think it was 591 men who spent 2.5 months, about 8.5 years in the Hanoi Hilton, and who were brutally tortured, and all came back all came back and had a 3% PTSD rating. And I know people will look back and say, well, that's reported. No, that's real studies coming back from these men. It came back 3% of them PTSD. And they go, PTSD. And they go, how is this possible? And it was this leadership process. So they took all this research from these different groups. The Hanoi Hilton survivors are now the kind of the poster boys for PTG, bereaved parents, disabled adults who are thriving in the aftermath of trauma. And I just would like to say, reverse engineer this process. So in 2013, when Ken Falk started Boulder Crest Foundation, it was Boulder Crest Retreat at the time, he was looking for something to hand off. He was an EOD veteran to his community. And then in 2014, they really decided, all right, we need to get serious about making a program. Because in 2015, the American Psychological Association came out and said, what we're doing is essentially what we're doing is not working. We need a new innovative approach to deal with mental health. And Ken Falk really took that to heart. And he started Warrior Path. So he linked up with Dr. Rich Tedeschi, who still sits on the board at the Boulder Crest Institute, and Dr. Brett Moore, who was a U.S. Army psychologist with 2 deployments to Iraq and spent a lot of time studying this topic. And they built what is Warrior Path. And I'll say why Warrior Path is so amazing and post-traumatic growth is so amazing is these gentlemen and everybody who's put their hands on this refused to let it get stuck in strategic drift, meaning they didn't just set this program in action in 2014 and just expect that it was going to continue to work here until 2023. Every single survey taken from every single student has been used to refine what it is today. So even when I went through in 2018, those 52 modules that we take students through looked a little bit different, and the program was 18 months. Nowadays, the program's 90 days. It starts with that first week initiation on the property. So post-traumatic growth has decades of science. It can be looked into for those of you guys listening, but to create what Warrior Path is today. And they define the process of going through post-traumatic growth in 5 phases. Most importantly, those 5 phases sit on the foundation of trust and connection, which we've already kind of talked about here. But the people, place, philosophy, and the program that build the ability for people to carry in their rucksacks, have a space to set those things down, and have a team around them to walk beside them, help them pull those things out of the rucksack and analyze them, having been 5 years down the road. And that's what we tell students, say, listen, we're on the path too. We were talking earlier, life's not going to stop punching you in the face, right? This process makes you more resilient to trauma. So the foundation of post-traumatic growth is this idea that Richard Tedeschi uses is trauma is a seismic event, an earthquake that shatters our infrastructure that was previously built. So if you go left of bang, the old me, right, which people always say, I want to be back to the old me. No, you don't. It's not possible. You can't ever be the old you. You've experienced trauma, but you can be a better version from you. And when you look back in history, it wasn't just those groups. You look back for thousands of years, and that's why it's called Warrior's Path. You know, mental health profession has been around for, 150 years as it is today as an education that you can get a degree in. But communities have been taking care of each other for thousands of years. So when you look into all organizations, you know, Warrior Path is not a religious organization by any means. But when you look back in all organized religions, the idea that all great wisdom comes from suffering is within it all. You go back to Greece, Rome, anything, great wisdom comes from suffering. It's throughout history. So they not only did they pull from the research, but they pulled from all these different cultures throughout history to combine these to make this program that is what it is now. It's the initial seven-day initiation. We take students through 52 modules, 75 contact hours of instruction. It's an intensive week to receive this post-traumatic growth process. But the phases of that, educating them on what's happened to them. And we don't focus on the trauma itself. We focus on the aftermath of trauma, how it affects you in your day-to-day relationships. So we educate. Then we teach them how to regulate. We have a dysfunctioning central nervous system. How do you regulate that so you can create the capacity to respond to what's in front of you and not do that on-off that we were talking about? I'm either 100% or I'm numb because that's what's valued in our communities. That's what makes you a good operator, right? We like to say we install that dimmer switch. You don't have to be all the way on and all the way off. There's a range that you can be at all times. And oh, by the way, you can turn that dimmer switch all the way on if you need to and all the way off if you need to. But you also, when you walk into your front door, can fine tune that to meet your family where they're at and where they need to be. So you have education, regulation, disclosure is a huge piece. I just shared my story on here, and sharing that story and trying to understand that story is how you make peace with that. And I know in my community, that's not acceptable. You don't go around to your peers preaching about how you're struggling. The suffer in silence thing is real. Hey, man, suffer in silence. We're all going through this shit, right? So you don't have a place to do that. So having a place to actually share your story, again, not focused on the trauma itself, but the effects it has had on your life, your family's life, is a big piece of that. Story, how do we create that new story now? We're not surviving. We're thriving. We're going past where we used to be because of what we have experienced. We use some definitions in Warrior Path, and I want to clarify that what that means, because when we say warrior, kind of puts people on their heels. When we say hero, people are like, I don't want to be called that. When we say a warrior, we're talking about a protector of others, someone who serves a cause greater than their own, and who's never a victim of circumstance or a product of their environment. And that's everybody in the warrior community. Those are the people I'm talking to right now, the people listening that are on the front lines, we serve warriors. And why we serve warriors, again, going back into the history of this, thousands of years. Thucydides, who's known to be one of the first war historians, he says this: we must remember that one man is much the same as another, and that he is best who is trained in the severest of schools. And when we talk about the severest of schools, it's the spheres of life experiences. And to take on that, when we say hero, we're talking about an ordinary person who survives extraordinary experiences and comes back to share those important truths about life to enrich the lives of others. And that's what being a path guide is when we teach this program. In that story piece, it is creating that new story, one that is connected to themselves and then concentric rings connected to their family, their community, and back to their country. So then they can go to the final phase, which is serve. So education, regulation, disclosure, story, and service. And so that's on the front end. That's how these 52 modules are built out throughout the week. Everything we do is with intention. Students don't have their phones through the week. They don't have the schedule. We want them to be where their feet are at for the first time in a long time and be able to fully engage in each activity, which is a requirement coming through the program. You sign on saying, I am going to fully engage in everything you put me through. And then on the back end of that, through the week, we take them to those 52 modules, 75 contact hours of instruction. And then the program's 90 days. So 83 days after the program, we continue with them on a private social network set up by Boulder Crest, called My Path. They got a private team room to interact amongst the team now that they form these new bonds. And then we have five team calls together with the teams and the path guides. Every single day, they have something to knock out about 5-10 minutes a day, reminding them of things they used during that seven-day initiation. And then 4 surveys throughout that process so we can capture the data to refine not only the program so it can remain effective into the future, but to get the statistics that I'll get to here in a second, again, your empirically based evidence that this stuff works. It's not anecdotal. It's not just, hey, man, I'm feeling better. Like a lot of programs we were talking about earlier, you know, we call them the catch and release program. Say, come here, you feel good, you go home, and you can't implement because they're a tool. It's not a daily practice. It's 52 to 58% reduction in PTSD symptoms coming out of this program, reduction in anxiety, reduction in depression, increase in PTGI index. And when we say the PTGI index, what we see is when we call the PTG domains, where we see people have an improvement in their life, taking quotes taken from people that have been through this process, experiencing new possibilities in their life, deeper relationships, appreciation for life, personal strength, and spiritual and existential change. And we say spiritual, it could mean religious if you're a religious human being. If not, it's literally talking about your existence, being back in a space comfortable in your skin and under a new understanding of your existence on this planet. And I know I'm throwing a lot at you just because I see the time ticking, and I really want to make sure I get information out there to the people, because unfortunately, as of right now, PTG, and I truly believe, you can tell I'm passionate about this program. I truly believe this program will be all over the country here as time goes on. This thing started with one location in 2014. They had the second one in 2017, and we just opened up the first location in Texas, the 10th location, partner location of Boulder Crest. And now we have it in the state of Texas, which I'm super proud of.
That's amazing. And I put up for everybody that's listening, eagleoakretreat.org is where you can go to find out more. The application is on there. We got just in this last minute, just talk real briefly, Stephen, why the application is the way it is and why it's important.
Yeah, I'll talk to a couple of things. Right now, Eagle Look Retreat literally broke ground on construction a year ago, and now we're in our third program on this property. It's 14,000 total square feet of property. What this family has been able to do, and us as a team together, to push forward in the support from the local community has been amazing. Right now, we're running one team, one program a month. So it's 12 programs. We run separate cohorts for females and males. So this year in total, we've already ran our first male and female program. We're on a male program right now. We'll run three female programs a year. Next year, same thing, three, and the rest will be male. And there's eight people per class. So that's what that grant allows us to serve. So if you're wanting to apply to the program, if you go to the Boulder Crest website, when you look up Warrior Path, Boulder Crest itself, if you apply through them, it's good. The application is going to go there. If you want to ensure, if you're from Texas and you want to ensure you come to this Texas location that's in your backyard, and as we start building this community of alumni here, these path guides, these expert guides here in the community, go to the website, eagleoakretreat.org. You go to Warrior Path link and click the application that applies to you. There's a veterans application and a first responder application. When you send that application and it comes directly to our path guide team, it comes to my email, actually. And so the reason that it's so long is because we have to take the time to understand there's very few seats in here, and it's not something that we're just pulling people in and pushing them out the other side. That's why this program's different. We've had to take the time to understand who you are. So if you apply to us, we're going to take the time to read that. We sit down and read through your entire application, and we'll communicate back to you for proof of service. So that just could be your badge. That could be your cert that you graduated from Fire Academy, or your DD-214 if you're in the military. And once we get that back, we sit down on almost like we're doing here on a Zoom interview with you, and we read through your application to see where you're at right now, because we want to make sure that this program is a good fit for you right now. And what we're really looking for is somebody that's in that struggle, but is ready and eager to make change. This is not you have to want to make the change in yourself. And we put a lot of time and resources as a team to lay into eight people that show up once a month. We have a full-time path team that prepares those for those people. So we want to make sure that people we're putting in the seats are in the right spot to do that. That's why the application is so long. And also, a requirement of the program is to do four surveys throughout that time. This program does not cost you anything, right? So that's why we are very specific about who we choose to bring in this course. Somebody that's ready to make change in their life, sees they need change in their life. And yes, it is a long application. It may take you 20, 30 minutes. It's not horrible. But we want to see, you have to take the step to want to change. And if that step is, yeah, how serious are you? You got to sit down and take that 20 to 30 minutes to fill out the application. If you're not going to do that, I can't expect that you're going to leave this program and do what we need you to do for the follow-on and have the discipline to do that every single day. So I know it's hard when you're struggling, but if you're looking for something that works, the application link's on the Eagle Oak Retreat website. So I hope, if that didn't answer your question,
that totally answered. That's where we gotta unfortunately leave it because of time. Folks, visit eagleoakretreat.org. If you're in that space, grab on to this incredible program, and it is incredible. We have read a lot. We have met a lot of people that have gone through it. Don't think you're not deserving of it. Take the time to do that. Stephen, can't thank you enough for joining us in the midst of you guys having an ongoing program. So we'll let you get back to the amazing work that you're doing with your other path leaders. And thank you to Eagle Oak Retreat right here in our backyard outside of Dallas in Italy, spelled Italy, but again, Italy. It's where you want to be, because healing in nature is freaking awesome. So thank you so much, Stephen. We will be in touch.
Yes. Absolutely. Honored to be on and talk with you guys. Thank you
absolutely
so much.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Take care.
Woo. Wow. That was really awesome. You know, it's we got the show. We got the time. We could do this. We could have him on for 3 hours because it's so amazing. It is worth the deep dive in because you're going to get what you need to propel yourself, not from what you were, but the better version, the best version of you moving forward. And that's what it's all about. Speaking of building better and building the best versions, we have to give a huge shout out to these folks right here. Carry the Load, got my shirt on today. We are nonprofit partners, just like Eagle Oak Retreat, everybody that we've had on this month, because we're all invested in healing our heroes and healing our warrior communities. That is what it's about. And the Continuum of Care program that Carry the Load allows us to participate in is hands above everything else out there. 93 cents of every dollar raised is coming back into our programs. So how can you get involved? Two ways. Come down to the Dallas Memorial March on Sunday and Memorial Day Monday. Take part in it. You can donate directly there. But if you can't, that's okay. We want to hear from you. We want you to give. We want to know who you are. Go to our website, abadgeofhonor.com. Scroll down to the Carry the Load logo. You'll see it. It looks just like this right here at the top of my screen.
With antlers. Click,
exactly, like my ears right here. Click here. On the, you'll see it, abadgeofhonor.com. Scroll down, Carry the Load's website logo. Click on it. You'll learn more about us. You'll learn how to get involved. And please give generously. We are halfway to our goal. And there's just so much more that we can do. And again, all that money goes back into the care programs that we're doing, the Eagle Oak is doing with the Warrior Path. And we couldn't be more grateful to Carry the Load for having us out. For all of our warriors out there, those that are veterans, thank you for answering the call. Thank you for doing what you did to give John and I the freedom and all of our guests to come onto this platform every week to be able to speak freely from the heart. For our active duty personnel around the world, thank you for keeping us safe here at home. And for our warriors on the front lines every single day, our first responders, we are praying for you daily. We have got your back. If you need help, do not let the stigma stop you. Reach out to Steven's team. It's right here in Texas or across the country, wherever you are. Reach out.
Right.
You deserve to be able to put that ruck down. You deserve to be able to take, I'll say, that heavy duty belt off, that body armor. Give yourself to a program that works. God bless you. Check out our website again. We have got PTSD 911. If you want to know, if you're watching this and you're a member of the public, you want to know what our first responders go through and how you can support, check out again our website. You can get tickets June 24th here in right up the street here in Garland, Texas. We're premiering that movie. Come on out. It's a huge fundraiser evening event. Starts at 5:30. If you're a first responder, daggone it, you need to be there. Your butt's in the seats. Bring your families. Let's bridge that understanding. Let's do it together. So, again, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. John, take us home.
Man, if there's one thing I can take out of this whole thing, which really hit me hard, was the post-traumatic growth. You know what? Learn what post-traumatic growth is and share it with one person this week. And let them pass it on, because it's horrible that it was developed in 1996 and that we're just learning about it now. So, you know what? Let's just pass that one thing on to everybody. Post-traumatic growth. Share it with somebody and let them pass it on. That ripple effect will have a huge, huge making a difference outcome if we all do that same thing.
Great last words, John. And you will find us going live next Monday. It is Memorial Day, but we will still be live all throughout the day down in Dallas. We'll also have a show on as well. So lots of love and prayers out to everybody. Join us next week. Thanks for tonight.
Peace.
Bye.
A Badge of Honor podcast is produced for the OBBN Network podcast and protected under copyright law. For content permissions, please submit your request to abadgeofhonor.com on the content page. For OBBN Network programming information, please call 214-714-0495 today.